Happy New Year, starting a new year, starting a new worship series, and starting a new endeavor. A new endeavor that I want to invite you into. Maybe you haven't made up your mind yet. Maybe you haven't heard about this. Maybe it's escaped your notice. But this year in 2022, we are inviting our entire church family, even the extended church family, out from this place. We're inviting us all into this idea of what if we could invite the Lord? What if we could invite the Lord to speak to us through His Word, every word all year long, every word all year long, so that we can invite the Lord to give us direction, to give us what we need, to show us what we need. So, I don't know if you got a chance to grab one of these packets out front as you were coming in today. There's a packet, and in this packet, it will show you everything in hard copy form. You can find all of this online at the Every Word All Year website. But if you want to have it in hard copy, you can grab one of these packets. They're in the foyer out there, and it gives you each day's reading to read through the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelation over the course of 2022. And it grows out of this heart that says, we don't live by bread alone, right? But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I mean, God has set this up in such a way that if we will just listen, we will hear Him speaking. I believe that God is always speaking. I just don't always hear Him. And in the midst of God always speaking, there are lots of other voices too. And in order for me to learn how to distinguish between the voice of God and all those other voices that come in my mind, that come in my heart, that come from the world, that come from every other source, in order for me to get that, there is this truism in my heart that says the only truly reliable source that we have for information about who God is and what God has done, what God is going to do, what God is at work to do, the only truly reliable source, unfiltered and unfettered, is the Word of God. That's it. You can't trust your pastor to get it right all the time, because I don't. You can't trust you can't trust the podcast you listen to get it right all the time. You can't trust whatever broadcast you look at. You got to go straight to the source. You got to go straight to the Word of God. There was this place in Scripture where there was a group of believers in the city of Berea who were commended because they took everything back to the Word of God. They tested everything against the Word of God. So, we're inviting everybody in our church family to give it a year. We're inviting everybody to experiment with the Word of God. We're inviting everybody to step in and say, you know what? I can do this. I can do this. Maybe you've always wanted to read through the Scripture from beginning to end. Now's your chance. And the difference this time is you have other people who are doing it right along with you. Other people who can encourage you. Other people who can spur you along to love and good works. Other people who can say, here's what I saw this week, to which you can reply, wow, I didn't even pick that up, but here's what I saw. And you can just encourage one another in your reading of the Word. So, want to introduce this idea today, and then as we go forward through the year, we're going to try to line up every week's gathering for worship according to that week's block of text that we're in, which is what you'll find is it's roughly a 25-chapter block of text each week. But you'll see in the material exactly what to read each day. And I want to invite you to really commit to it. Really commit to it. And I also want to encourage you, if you blow it, don't stop. In fact, if you blow it, I will encourage you this. If you blow it, if you find yourself for whatever reason and you miss a day or 2 days, if you miss a day, you can catch it up. In fact, this plan was built so that you had Saturday and Sunday to play catch up. You know, it's a 5-day-a-week reading plan, so you got 2 extra days to catch up if you blow it. But if you get more than a few days behind, I know you. You'll just shrug your shoulders, throw up your hands, and say, maybe next year. No, don't do it. If you blow it, don't jump in and pick up where you left off. Jump in and pick up where we all are so that you can get right back on so that you can ride with us, okay? All right. Well, I want to walk you through some ideas today, but I want to frame it in these three questions so that you can sort of wrestle with this, because at the end of our time together, I want to invite you to commit. Not to me. I want to invite you to commit, not to the church. I want to invite you to commit. Commit to your own heart. Commit to your own intention. Commit to the Lord. Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to do this. I want to press in. I want to do this hard thing in the name of Jesus. So here are the questions. One, what is God at work to do through his word? What is God at work to do through his word? And that's an important thing for you to know, because this is not just an intellectual pursuit. God is actually doing something in his word. He's doing something in his word in the world, where his word stands as a light to our feet and a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. He's guiding us with his word. He's purifying us with his word. He's using his word as a standard against which Jesus talked in one place about I've come to bring, to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And he does that through his word. What is God at work to do through his word? Because it's powerful. We'll get to a verse on that in just a minute. It's powerful. But here's a more personal question. What is it God at work to do in you through his word? What is God at work to do in you through his word? Because there may be some things that God is trying to get through to you on, that God is trying to accomplish in you, some things, honestly, that God would like to put his finger on in your life because they don't belong. They don't belong. And you haven't agreed with God on that yet. You're still kind of in a wrestling match with God over some particular habits, over some particular life patterns, over some particular hang-ups that you've been wrestling with and dealing with. And God keeps putting his finger on it, and you keep dodging the Lord. Well, here's something. If you were to present yourself before the Lord on the altar of his word and give him a year to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Anyway, what is God at work to do in you through his word? And there's this line from the book of James, James chapter 1. It says, let patience have its perfect work. Because this is a long commitment. This is a long commitment. Eugene Peterson wrote a book one time, and the title was A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And that's what this is. We're inviting you into a long obedience in the same direction. And when you step into this year-long commitment, and you got a plan, and you got people to encourage you, you got people to support you in it, but when you step into this, it is a big commitment. Will you let patience, will you let perseverance have its perfect work in you? Will you let the days build up and accumulate? Will you let the chapters build up and accumulate? Will you let the messages from the Lord build up and accumulate in your heart? So there are three passages I want to bring us to today to just set the stage for the whole thing, to set the stage for the entire year. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, very famous passage that talks about how all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And we'll come back to them in a second. But this is the one that talks about how the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then Romans 12, 1 and 2. And that's the part where Paul says, look, present yourself to God as a living sacrifice. You ready to jump into these? You want to get a snap of the screen so you can know where to go back and find these later? So 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and I've got two Bibles up here with me, honestly, because I haven't decided yet which translation, which version of Scripture I want to do my reading in for our every word all year. And so I've got the New International Version, which I preach out of most of the time, all right? And I've got a New Living Translation here. And the thing that these two have in common for me is they are both giant print. Which leads me to one of the questions that Brett helped us deal with last week. Which translation, which version, which Bible is best for you to read? And the answer to that is the same answer that comes anytime you ask somebody, what's the best diet for me? And it's the one you will follow. It's the one that you will embrace. It's the one that you will keep coming back to. So if you've got a particular version of Scripture that is yours, that you've held closely to all your life and nothing else actually feels like Scripture to you, then read that one. If you tell yourself, you know what, I want something to give it back to me in a new and fresh way, then read a different one. There are lots of good and reliable translations. It's one of the incredible blessings we have of being 21st century American Christians. We have access to the Word of God in unprecedented ways in the history of humankind. Never before, never before, and probably on no other continent do you have the kind of unlimited access to Scripture, pretty reliable sources of Scripture. So whether it's New Living, whether it's New King James, whether it's King James, whether it's New International, New American Standard, whatever it may be, whatever it may be, find the one that works for you and get one with a big enough print that you can honestly sit down with and be comfortable. I'm not joking about that. It needs to be something that you can read at length and not be burdened by it, not just be exhausted when you get to the end of it. So anyway, that's why I've got two Bibles opened up here. And the thing about, I'll tell you, the thing about giant print Bibles is they're big. They're bulky. So maybe you decide you want to read this on your Kindle or on your iPad or whatever. I'll be honest with you, that's kind of where I spend most of my personal devotions these days, is on an iPad mini, because I can make the print as big as I want. I can toggle between translations if I want, and I can go at my own, and it just helps me. It just helps me. So whatever works for you, and we've got some resources listed for you in that handout, also on that website, Every Word All Year, resources to help you sort of find your place through this. I've got one dear friend. I haven't even started the sermon yet, but I've got one dear friend who tells me, and he loves the Lord, he loves Jesus, and he's a serious disciple. And yet he tells me, he's told me this so many times over the years that I've known him, he said, "Look, I'm just not a good reader. I'm just not a good reader." And can I tell you something, guys? Through most of human history, disciples of Jesus were non-readers. It's only in this most recent epoch of human history that we've had the level of literacy, just literacy that we have now, let alone biblical literacy and access. So if you're not a good reader, don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. We have resources available to you on that website where you can actually have the Word of God read to you. The Dwell app and some other resources, the YouVersion app has an audible component to it. You can have it read to you while you're driving, while you're working out. You can have it read to you. You could actually have it read to you in whatever translation that you've got open before you, and you can read along to get the double impact of what comes in through the ear gate as well as what comes in through the eye gate, right? And you can have all that going on at the same time. And if it helps you, praise God. It's available to you. It's available to you. So anyway, do you have 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17? These are phenomenal words. These are words that I was discipled to memorize very early on in my walk with Christ, because it establishes the weight and the importance and the validity of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says this in the New Living Translation. It says, "All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." Let me read it to you from the New International Version. It says this in the New International Version. It says, "All Scripture is God-breathed." And that's a beautiful word picture to me. All Scripture comes literally, as the breath of God. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful. It is useful. Man, let that sink in on your heart for a minute. Because God is at work to do something in the world, and God is at work to do something in me. The Word of God is God-breathed, and it is useful. And here's what it does in me. Here's what it does in the world. The Word of God, all Scripture, God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. And I need all those things. And you need all those things. It corrects me where I'm wrong. And I'm wrong a lot of places. Trouble is, I don't know I'm wrong in a lot of places. There's an even bigger problem. Sometimes, even when I know I'm wrong, I try to make a case for why I'm not wrong. But the Word of God is useful. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, that would be you, so that the child of God, so that the man or woman of God, I remember that line when little Samuel was just a boy, and his mentor told him, he said, look, when you hear the voice of God, here's your response. You say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And when you read God's word, when you allow God's word to be spoken over you, maybe you come at it with a heart that says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Maybe along the way, things transition for you and you begin to say, speak, Lord, your son is listening. Speak, Lord, your daughter, this child of God, I'm listening. And maybe you get to a point somewhere along the way where you begin to say, speak, Lord, your precious one is listening. Because there are things that you are at work to do in me, teaching, correcting, rebuking, training me for what is next for me. So that the child of God, the servant of God, the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. And that's not to say perfect as in you're never getting it wrong, but that means you have all you need in Christ. You have all you need in the Word. You have all you need as the Holy Spirit teaches and instructs you in His Word, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. What is God at work to do in this world? What is God at work to do in you as you go through this together? Let me give you another one. Hebrews chapter 4. It's just a few pages over if you wanted to find there. And by the way, I don't know if you've picked up on this, but from the time that we first sort of got things going up here on the hill, we made sure that there was a Wi-Fi connection for you. Because so many people now are using their phones as their Bible or their iPad, and they just bring it to church with them. And if you need to get on, so there's this incredible app, this great useful tool that I use all the time. It's called the YouVersion. It's a free Bible app, YOU version, and you can get on your Wi-Fi, you can get on and pull that up. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, here's what it says. Here's what it says. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes. And He is the one to whom we are accountable. And that verse may sound really intimidating to you. In fact, that may be enough to put the kibosh on this whole deal. The idea that if you honestly opened yourself up to the Word of God, you couldn't hide from God any longer. Can I tell you something? Whatever you think you've been hiding from God is a myth anyway. God already knows. God already knows. The deal is, we don't always know. But let me set you a context for Hebrews chapter 4 for a second, because the title over the top of the chapter in Hebrews 4 is Promised Rest for God's People. By the way, when you start to read through the scripture, here's what you need to know. The words are inspired, the chapters and verses not so much. So you may find yourself reading through a day's reading, and you may get to a chapter break, and you may think, well, that doesn't seem like a logical place to close the book right now. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. The chapter divisions, the verse divisions, aren't necessarily according to the message that God is speaking to your heart. So if you get to a place and you feel like God says, keep going, keep going, keep going, then by all means, keep going. Anyway, in Hebrews chapter 4, the promised rest for God's people, and he talks about how God was leading His people, God's promise of entering into His rest, right? That's what the children of Israel were doing, and God had this promised land, and you're going to enter into a rest. There's a favorite word of mine, theologically speaking, one of my favorite theological ideas is to abide with God, to rest in God. To live with, to dwell with, to abide with God. And Hebrews chapter 4 talks about what does it mean to enter that rest with God? And it's in that context that he says, for the word of God is alive and active. What's God at work to do in you, in the world, in you personally through his word? Well, it's living and it's active. And you may say, you know what, Rusty? I actually read through the scripture from beginning to end when I was 28 years old. For whatever reason, maybe at 38 years old, maybe 58 years old. I don't know. But maybe you say, Rusty, I've done that before. I've checked that off my list. That piece is out of the bucket of my bucket list. I've done that. Let me invite you to come back to it. In fact, let me invite you to come back to it over and over and over again. Let me, crowd participation. How many of you have ever had the experience of reading a particular passage of scripture and seeing something you had never seen before? Anybody? Of course you have. Yeah, yeah. And the deal there is the words are the same, but because this is a living word, the Holy Spirit is able to address it to you according to where you are today. And so God is going to speak it to you in a fresh environment, in a fresh moment, according to where you're at today. The Word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And that sounds a little scary, but when I hear that, I don't think of a two-edged sword so much. I've got swords down in my office. I'm into swords. I like that kind of thing. But what I think of when I read this passage is I think of the Word of God like a scalpel in the hands of a skillful surgeon. And what is God at work to do in you? What is God at work to do in me through his Word? The Word of God is living and active, sharper than the sharpest scalpel. And it says this. It says, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So, Lord, what is it in Jesus' name that you want to do surgery on in my life? What is the heart surgery you intend to carry out in me through your word? And Father, I just want you to know, I trust you. You know, one of the number one indicators of the success of any medical procedure is trusting your medical professionals. I don't know if you knew that. I mean, there's skill, obviously. I mean, there's a baseline. But if you don't trust them, your outcome is going to be more doubtful. I don't know if you knew that. But what if one of the spiritual, one of the prayer points as you come before the Lord is to say every day when you open God's word, Lord, I trust you in Jesus' name to do whatever it is you're at work to do in me today through your word. I trust you. I trust you. In fact, I lay myself on your operating table and I invite you to do in my life, with my life, through my life, whatever it is you'd like to do. Everything is uncovered and laid bare. And that may sound scary. It is kind of scary. Because a lot of us spend an awful lot of time and energy, a lot of our resources trying to keep some things hidden from people we know, people that love us, people that honestly try to get to know us, but we work pretty hard to make sure that we're not exposed because we fear that what goes with exposure is frequently shame. You're going to find this tomorrow. If you start tomorrow reading, you're going to find this where Adam and Eve in the garden, the first thing they say to the Lord when he comes and he says, Adam, where are you? You're going to find Adam say something along these lines. I was naked and afraid, so I hid. I was naked and afraid, so I hid. But here's what you need to know. When you come to the Word of God, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account, before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So maybe you could just come before the Lord with a heart that says, God, you already know me. You already know everything there is to know about me. Lord, in Jesus' name, whatever you want to put your finger on, in Jesus' name, I lay myself out on your operating table ahead of time. I just want you to know I'm going willingly, Lord. I'm going willingly to what it is that you want to accomplish in my life. And he goes on, he says this. He says, everything uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Because like it or not, guys, like it or not, God has given us this Bible. And we have a stewardship of it to some degree. So it's not enough to tuck it under your arm and carry it back and forth to church every week. It's not enough. It's not enough to have it easily available so you can put it out on your coffee table when people come to your house that you want to impress. It's not enough. It's not enough to just use it as a fashion accessory. You got to open it. You got to read it. You got to let the Word of God read you. It's not only that you're reading the Word of God is reading you, right? So let me take you to Romans 12, 1 and 2, and you may know this passage really well. You may know this one. This is another one of those that I was encouraged to memorize years ago when I was a kid. Which, by the way, I don't know if you remember, last week when Brett was sharing about some of his experiences, there was a strategy that he offered to you, and I would commend it to you as well. When you're reading or listening, you might want to keep a little notepad or a little stack of 3x5 cards, because there may be something that God speaks to you that's almost like finding a diamond in the dirt. And you may want to pick that up. So a word from the Lord, a prompting from the Lord. You may want to just write that on a 3x5 card that you can tape to your steering wheel or stick to your mirror at home. You may want to have that. Or you may want to write it into a journal so that one of the things Brett mentioned was so that you can go back at the end of this year and say, here's what God was speaking to me about in January. And here's what God was speaking to me about in February. And here's what God was speaking to me about in March. You may not find something every day that you want to write down, although you might. You got a good block of text. You may find something every day that carries you that day. But be ready to record it. Be ready to write it down. Be ready to hide God's word in my heart. There's this line we used to teach our kids. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right? Psalm 119. Which, by the way, if you've ever said, Rusty, you've memorized a lot of Bible verses. You know what? I haven't really. I mean, I kind of have, because I went to a Christian school and that was part of the discipline week in and week out. We had a scripture memory verse that we were tested on just like a spelling bee. I would encourage you to that. I had no idea at the time. I hated it at the time. But it has planted such seeds in my heart that bear fruit in me now as an adult, I'm telling you. But I always wanted to be that guy. I would hear preachers who would just sort of, the word of God would just rattle off their tongues. And I always said, I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy. And you know what I found? It's the exposure over time to the word of God that shapes your heart in that direction. I'm just telling you, I'm not claiming anything. I'm just telling you, that's how it comes about. And it comes about when you begin to hide God's word in your heart. Anyway, Romans 12, you have it? Romans 12, this is a really precious passage to me, because one of my sons counts this Romans 12 passage as the deciding moment in his life with Jesus, that God spoke this to him on a rooftop on a mission trip in Peru, and it changed the course of his life. So Romans 12 has a special place in my heart. It also has a special place in my heart because I feel like it reads my mail every time I see it. Romans chapter 12, New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And I want to invite you into this in terms of what is God at work to do in you as you open God's word on a daily basis over this next year, and you line yourself up with other brothers and sisters who are reading the same passage, listening for the same voice of God. What if you could see this as laying yourself out on the altar before the Lord? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice. You know the trouble with living sacrifices? The trouble with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. It's true. So every day, you crawl back up on there. Remember that? One of the things you'll come across just in this first week of reading scripture together, in this first week, you'll find the story of when Abraham brought his son Isaac and laid him out on the altar, and God provided miraculously a sacrifice. God provided miraculously. But what if you could say, you know, as you come before the Lord on a daily basis, what if one of the prayer points could be, Lord, I offer myself to you on the altar. Father, speak in whatever way you choose to speak. I lay myself out before you. I lay myself out before you. And what's going to happen? what's going to happen over the course of the year is you will find yourself, because here's the deal. We are too frequently, Romans 12:2, conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Too frequently, we are conformed. God says, here's what I want to do in you. I want to transform you by the renewing of your mind. And that happens through his word. It's helped sometimes with sermons, I think, I hope, I pray. It's helped sometimes with worship music and encounters with God in praise. But it happens first and foremost through the power of the word of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Paul said it this way. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? Paul said it this way. He said, talked about being washed with water through the word. That's what God is at work to do in us. That's what God is at work to do in our world. Talks about guiding and directing. Talks about transforming and washing. Talks about accomplishing things on the inside of us. And honestly, maybe in your heart you're saying, you know what? I know some people that need that. Well, it would be completely appropriate for you to say, Lord, in Jesus' name, as I set the tone for my family, Lord, would you help me know how to lead my sons and my daughters to feast on the word of God as well? To be transformed by the word of God as well. Father, would you let me lead the way as I lay myself out on your altar on a daily basis? Lord, may my sons and my daughters see the work of God in my life so that they can hunger for that themselves. Maybe you say, you know what, Rusty, my husband would never do anything like this. Can I just invite you into something? What if you could just say, Lord, would you give me this quiet spirit of example? And Lord, let the changes that you bring about in me become an invitation to everybody that knows me to find what I have found in Jesus. And then just quietly go about. Quietly go about the dailiness of offering yourself to the Lord. We have in this packet, we have a Bible reading plan for your children as well. Because if this could be grafted into their hearts at a young age, just think some of the challenges that you face that they could perhaps avoid by having an early and deep planting of the Word of God in their lives. So what is God at work to do through his word? You may say, Rusty, the world is so dark. The world needs his word so desperately. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Sometimes the only word of God, the only Bible that most people read is you. When they see you living out your faith with integrity before the Lord and before the eyes of a watching world. What has God at work to do in you through his word? And will you let that perseverance have its perfect work?